Alex Mitchell, Jonathan Franzen, The Corrections, pages 460 through 463. This passage uses the theme of consumer goods and their relationship to human interiority to show the way in which Alfred himself has changed in his old age. Franzen consistently portrays humans as material objects, as well as objects as human, throughout the novel. And in this instance, Alfred, with his hands rotating like an egg beater, is portrayed as an old machine. Since he was young, Alfred has lived his life based on principles of hard work and do-it-yourself ideals. In many ways, the changing consumer culture that he has witnessed parallels his own aging in the face of time, and this causes shame and anger on both fronts. He feels victimized by the goddamn lights, because he feels shame at being controlled by the consumer culture that is overtaking the ideals with which he grew up. This modernity dictates that he solve his problems with money rather than with his own faculties. His children, especially Gary, who thinks that Enid should hire someone to install the shower bar, are of this generation and more easily agree with money as a solution. Alfred, however, who is of an earlier time and culture, tries his best to resist, refuse, and rebel against increased reliance on external stuff. And just as time is responsible for this change in consumer culture, time also victimizes Alfred's body and mind in his old age. His shame is compounded by the fact that he is not mentally capable of figuring out how to fix the lights, nor is he physically capable of manipulating the material in front of him. Alfred can no longer be who he was or who he wants to be, a man, a private hard worker who needs no assistance from others. This fills him with shame. He realizes that both of the ways in which he is trying to resist time, the first being time as old age, the second being time as a changing consumer culture, are futile. He is shameful of the fact that he no longer fits into the world around him, and as a result, he sees himself through the perspective of consumer culture as an obsolete and broken consumer product. All of this has caused his suicidal depression, in which he is simply in favor of just junking the whole machine. The paragraph regarding the myths and the childish optimism of the fix also exemplifies Franzen's parallels between the life of a human and the life of a store-bought product. The myth and addictive cycle of consumerism is based in the perception that a new product will always be new and will always bring the consumer the same euphoric high that it brings him at the time of purchase and first use. However, in reality, the product eventually becomes old and familiar and unexciting and is eventually discarded as newer and better products are bought to try to regain that high. Similarly, Alfred, as any human being, does not live his life always thinking that he will become old and tired and incapable. He expresses the idea that young humans, like new products, seem as though they will live forever. A page later he says, "The finite and specific animal body of this species contained a brain capable of conceiving the infinite and wishing to be infinite itself." A human being does not live with the reality of death ever present in his mind, and one always imagines an infinite future in which one can improve oneself and fulfill one's unsatisfied and ongoing desires. While Alfred seems to resist a reliance on material objects more than most of the characters, he understands the natural human tendency to define, orient, and identify oneself based on the materials of the external world. While consumerism may be a rapidly increasing human dependency on material goods, the way we present ourselves and the things we surround ourselves with necessarily form a component of our own human identity. Without anything tangible and familiar to hold on to, we would all be lost, as Alfred was, until he instinctively reaches for the orange flotation device. It is hard to say whether Franzen takes any one stance on the evaluation of our consumer culture. He may just be showing how different types of people live and react to the economically driven society around them. For instance, both Enid and Gary are victims of consumer culture. Yet for Enid, it is the meaning with which she imbues these objects that matters most, and this conflicts with Gary's strict allegiance to monetary efficiency. This is represented by their ongoing argument about whether or not to sell the house in St. Jude. In Franzen's depiction of American consumer culture and the way in which it affects the Lambert family, there seems to be an element of natural humanity in this attachment to objects. Yet at the same time, there also seems to be a very sinister and artificial element of enslavement to this morality of money.